ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಕೀ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 1 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 6 ಅಂಡ್ 7. ಸ್ವಮೂರ್ತ್ಯಾಲೋಕಲಾವಣ್ಯ ನಿರ್ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯಾಲೋಚನಂ ನೃಣಾಂ ಗಿರಿಭಿಸ್ತಃ ಸ್ಮರತಾಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಪದೈಸ್ತಾನೀಕ್ಷತಾಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಃ. ಸ್ವಮೂರ್ತ್ಯಾಲೋಕಲಾವಣ್ಯ ನಿರ್ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯಾಲೋಚನಂ ನೃಣಾಂ ಗಿರಿಭಿಸ್ತಃ ಸ್ಮರತಾಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಪದೈಸ್ತಾನೀಕ್ಷತಾಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಃ. ಸ್ವಮೂರ್ತ್ಯಾಲೋಕಲಾವಣ್ಯ ನಿರ್ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯಾಲೋಚನಂ ನೃಣಾಂ ಗಿರಿಭಿಸ್ತಃ ಸ್ಮರತಾಂ ಚಿತ್ತಂ ಪದೈಸ್ತಾನೀಕ್ಷತಾಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಃ. ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್ there are two verses, so I will read the second verse also.
ఆచిద్య కీర్తిం సుశ్లోకాం వితత్య యంజసానుకౌ తమోనయా తరిష్యంతి త్యగాత్ స్వం పదమేశ్వరః.
సో ఐ థింక్ yesterday మదన్ గోపాల్ ప్రభు హ్యాస్ ఆల్రెడీ కవర్డ్ ది ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ యా అండ్ 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 9 paragraphs in this, so I'm just going to read the translation and then read the purport.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the reservoir of all beauty. All beautiful things emanate from Him, and His personal form is so attractive that it steals the eyes away from all other objects, which then seem devoid of beauty in comparison to Him. When Lord Krishna was on the earth, He attracted the eyes of all the people. When Krishna spoke, His words attracted the minds of all who remembered them. By seeing the footsteps of Lord Krishna, people became attracted to Him, and thus they wanted to offer their bodily activities to the Lord as His followers. In this way, Krishna very easily spread His glories, which are sung throughout the world by the most sublime and essential Vedic verses. Lord Krishna considered that simply by hearing and chanting those glories, conditioned souls born in the future would cross beyond the darkness of ignorance. Being satisfied with this arrangement, He left for His desired destination.
So I presume that it was this paragraph, okay, from where I'm going to read. So foolish people, yeah? Okay, so foolish people cannot understand this substantial benefit offered by the Lord, but Lord Krishna acts for the benefit of such foolish people by saving them from their absorption in the material world of false enjoyment. The Lord does this by personally displaying His own superlative activities, superlative transcendental beauty, transcendental words and transcendental activities. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that the words tamo naya tarishyanti indicate that although the Lord appeared 5,000 years ago, one who hears and chants about the activities, form and words of the Lord will get exactly the same benefit as those who personally experienced these things as contemporaries of Lord Krishna. In other words, he will also cross over the darkness of material existence and achieve the Lord's abode. Thus, Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that if such an exalted destination is available to all living beings, it must certainly have been awarded to the Yadavs, who were personal associates of the Lord. It is stated in this verse that by His beauty, Krishna stole away the vision of people who saw Him. Krishna's speaking was so attractive that those who heard Him became speechless. Since generally those who cannot speak are also deaf, the Lord's words also stole away the ears of those who heard Him. Since they were no longer interested in hearing sounds other than the Lord speaking, by displaying the beauty of His footsteps, Krishna stole away from those who saw them the power to perform materialistic activities. Thus, by His appearance in this world, Krishna took away the senses of mankind. In other words, He made people blind, dumb, deaf, mad and otherwise invalid. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asks, since He took away everything people possessed, who would properly call Him merciful? Who would properly call Him merciful? Rather, He is just a thief. In this way, He indirectly offers the highest praise to the beauty of the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also points out that although Krishna gave liberation to the demons by destroying them, to those who were attracted to Him, Krishna gave pure love of God and drowned them in the ocean of His own beauty. Thus, Krishna is not like a person who gives charity without discrimination, and Krishna is so merciful
that not only did he give the highest benediction to the inhabitants of the earth, but he empowered great saintly persons such as Vyasadev to describe his pastimes with beautiful poetic verses. Thus, people born on the earth in the future could easily cross over the ocean of birth and death by those glories which are compared to a strong boat. In fact, those of us who are now enjoying the glories of Krishna through the transparent medium of the Bhaktivedanta purports to Srimad Bhagavatam, by the mercy of His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, are the fortunate recipients of the mercy of Krishna, who was merciful even to persons yet to be born. Quoting from the Amarkosh dictionary, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti has also stated, Padam yavasitatrana sthana lakshmyangri vastushu. The possible definitions for padam are that which has been decided, or the place of deliverance, or fortune, foot or object. Thus, he translates the word padam as also meaning vyavasita, that which has been decided. In other words, the statement agata swam padam ishvaraha indicates not only that Krishna went to his abode, but that Krishna realized his determined desire. If we say that Krishna returned to his eternal abode, we imply that Krishna had been absent from his abode and was now returning. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that it is incorrect to say in a normal sense that Krishna went back to his abode. According to the Brahma Samhita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always present in his eternal abode in the spiritual sky. Yet, by his causeless mercy, he also manifests himself from time to time within the material world. In other words, God is all-pervading. Even when present before us, he is simultaneously in his abode. The ordinary soul or jeev is not all-pervading like the super soul, and therefore by his presence in the material world, he is absent from the spiritual world. In fact, we are suffering due to that absence from the spiritual world or Vaikuntha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is all-pervading, and therefore Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur translates the words agat swam padam to mean that Krishna achieved exactly what he desired. The Lord is all-pervading and self-sufficient in fulfilling His perfect desires. His appearance and disappearance in this world should never be compared to ordinary material activities. Vishwanath Chakravarti has quoted a statement by Uddhav at the beginning of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Uddhav compares the disappearance of Lord Krishna to the setting of the sun. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada has written, the comparison of Krishna to the sun is very appropriate. As soon as the sun sets, darkness automatically appears, but the darkness experienced by the common man does not affect the sun itself either at the time of sunrise or at sunset. Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are exactly like that of the sun. He appears and disappears. In innumerable universes, and as long as he is present in a particular universe, there is all transcendental light in that universe. But the universe from which he passes away is put into darkness. His pastimes, however, are everlasting. The Lord is always present in some universe, just as the sun is present in either the eastern or western hemisphere. The sun is always present either in India or America. But when the sun is present in India, the American land is in darkness. And when the sun is present in America, the Indian hemisphere is in darkness. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted a verse from the end of the 11th canto that further clarifies that the abode of the Lord is as eternal as the Lord Himself. The ocean immediately swallowed Dwarka, O Maharaj, taking away the Lord's personal abode, which the Lord had abandoned. The Supreme Lord Madhusudan is always present in Dwarka, which merely by being remembered takes away everything unfavorable. It is the most auspicious of auspicious places. Just as the sun appears to be swallowed by the night, Krishna or his abode or his dynasty seems to disappear, but actually the Lord and all of his paraphernalia, including his abode and dynasty, are eternal in the same way as the sun is always in the sky. Srila Prabhupada says in this connection, as the sun appears in the morning and gradually rises to the meridian and then again sets in one hemisphere while simultaneously rising in the other, so Lord Krishna's disappearance in one universe and the beginning of his different pastimes in another take place simultaneously. As soon as one pastime is finished here, it is manifested in another universe, and thus his Nitya Leela or eternal pastimes are going on without ending.
Om Adhyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraha Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijanak Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pri Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sandho Vevacha Vaditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So it's privilege to be here, and I consider it to be a blessing to be given this opportunity to speak. Somehow or another, devotees are merciful that I get this opportunity to speak every month. So I'm speaking for my own purification. Sorry if I seem to be instructive. So we are on the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have completed the 10th canto, and 31 verses in this chapter, and it begins with the introduction of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. And the 30th chapter describes the disappearance of the Lord's family, and the 31st chapter is describing the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. So the 11th canto, I was very fortunate actually that just last week I was in Dwarka and Somnath. Somnath has that place of Balkatirth, It is a place from where the Lord disappeared. And somehow I could get the blessings of that place. As it is explained in the purport here, that there is no need to go to the holy place actually. Simply by thinking about Dwaraka, you are purified. Hare Krishna. So, Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya, Kashi, Kanchi, Ravantika, Puri, Dwaravatau, Chaiva, Saptaita, Mokshadayika. The Vedic literatures explain that there are these seven very, very holy places. Ayodhya, Mathura, Maya is Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchi, Avantika, Ujjain, Puri, and Dwarka, Saptaita Mokshadayika. Simply by setting foot there, you are purified. So, it's indeed a blessing that being in ISKCON, we get to go there. We are arranging a yatra, so as an advance party. I took the opportunity. So we are the 11th canto. It's auspicious because if you see that the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is actually considered to be non-different from Krishna. The different cantos of the Supreme, of the Srimad Bhagavatam represents the different limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the 11th canto represents the beautiful broad forehead of Lord Shri Krishna. Ekadasho yascha lalata pattam kshiropi yad dvadasha eva bhati. And the 12th canto represents the head of the Lord. Padau yadiyau prathamadvitiyau trithiyatturiyau kadithau yaduru nabhisthata panchama eva shashtau bhujantarau dauryugalau tathami kanthastu rajan navamo yadiyau mukharavindam dashamam prafullam ekadasha yascha lalatapattam kshiropiyat dvadasha eva bhati. So the first and the second canto represents the two lotus feet of the Lord, third and the fourth the thighs, fifth the navel, sixth the chest, seventh and eighth the two hands, ninth the neck of the Lord. The beautiful smiling face of the Lord represents the 10th canto, the forehead the 11th, and the head of the Lord the 12th. So it is quite symbolic in one sense also that the Lord disappeared and he appeared in a different form. He appeared through the pen of Veda Vyas. And there are different forms of the Lord made of paint, wood, marble. This is yet another form of the Lord in the form of the Aksharas, the shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, in this very important chapter, it is described just to give you a little background that the Lord has taken the pretext of a curse and made it as an excuse to wind up his pastimes from this universe. He was cursed by Gandhari because she was so upset that all of her sons were killed. And when she met Krishna, she told him that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Trikalagya. You know the past, present and future. You have all the powers to stop things and events from happening. Still you didn't do it. You didn't spare even one son of mine. I curse you. Just as of war, has taken the lives of all my children, so also a war will be the cause of the destruction of your dynasty. So you see, you know, the living entities have this tendency to complain and criticize the Lord. Many times people ask why the Lord doesn't manifest himself. Why does the Lord keep himself secret? Why does the Lord play hide and seek? He is the best player, you know, of hide and seek. Isn't it? I mean, he's everywhere still. You cannot see him. Quite amazing. Sarvata Panipadam Tat. He's everywhere, but still, who can see him? He's the best when it comes to playing. So, that's the reason basically. That if we had an opportunity to be in the personal association of the Lord, the first thing we will do is criticize and complain. Why you like this? Why like that? But however, it was the Lord who inspired her, and not only her, but Vishwamitra and Narad, who also cursed the sons and grandchildren of the Lord because they were playing a prank on the sadhus. So Gandhari's curse cannot actually act upon the Lord, because the Lord is transcendental beyond all the rules and regulations of this material world. Even Daksha had cursed Narad that he will not be able to stay in any one place for more than 3 days. But still, Narad came to Dwarka and he was living without any fear. For a long time he was living there only. Why? It is explained. Because in Dwarka, which is the spiritual abode of the Lord, the material rules do not apply. And therefore the curse of Daksha was not able to act upon Narad. So what to speak of then the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What material curse given by any mundane personality can affect him? So certainly the Lord's pastimes, that he inspired a Gandhari to curse him so that now he can use it as an excuse to wind up his pastimes and go back home to his abode. And of course, Acharya has explained, going back means he's already in his abode, but he just unmanifests his pastimes. And also, a very important instruction through this we can understand was when the rishis cursed the dynasty of the Supreme Lord. And Samba, when he goes to the rishis, all had come to Prabhas. And at that time, Samba and others had filled up their clothes on their belly and made it seem like he was a girl and he was pregnant. They go to the rishis and they say, please, y'all are Trikalagyas. Y'all can tell the future. Please tell what is going to be the sex of the child who will be born. So they were playing a prank on the rishis. Today pranks are very famous, if you see, YouTube. And now, there another thing famous is how the pranksters get beaten up when pranks go wrong. That's another, if you see. Because you're playing a prank on someone, and it doesn't work out, it backfires. Like the hunters may become the hunted. And that is the situation, that when the members of the Yadu dynasty, when they, it was again, as I said, that it was the arrangement of the Lord that they went there. It was inspired actually by the Lord. They were pure devotees of the Lord. They cannot become proud, but still they get cursed. Whatever is there in your stomach, that will become the cause of the destruction of your whole dynasty. And when they take out that, gets transformed into an iron ball or something, and they go to Ugrasen, and Ugrasen, what to do with it? They don't go to Krishna, because they were so embarrassed, you know, because it's so much against the principles of the Lord, you know, that the Lord does not like to see his devotees offended. So they go to Ugrasen and they say, what to do with this? And Ugrasen, he makes some arrangement and gets it ground up into fine powder
and throws it into the ocean. One small piece is left. It's eaten by a fish, found by a fisherman, caught by a fisherman. That piece of iron gets made into an arrow. And that hunter, Jara, places it as the tip of an arrow. And he comes to Balkatirth. And at that time, already a great war had broken out between the members of Sri Krishna's family. As we know, that they came there because there were some inauspicious signs in Dwarka, some ill omen, and all of them were discussing that what should we do, how can we become free from this, how can we counteract this inauspiciousness in Dwarka. And the Supreme Lord suggested that we should go to Prabhas and perform some yajnas. And in that way, he brought all the members of the Yadu dynasty there. The ladies were left behind. The gents went forward. They performed the yajnas. And they drank the remnants of the yajna, which some of it was some intoxicant. And they became high on that. And an argument broke out between the members. And they started killing each other. And eventually, Krishna and Balaram were left, and Krishna also disappeared, and Balaram also assumed his original, not his original, but he assumed the Anantashesh form and vanished. Very important lesson the Supreme Lord gives through this pastime is that when one persecutes saintly persons, then that brings about great calamity upon that person. In the pastime of Kansa, there is that verse which says, Ayuhu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani Umso Mahat Atikramaha. That Ayuhu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam. One loses one's wealth, health, fame, blessings, his religious principles, everything auspicious. If he mahat atikramaha, if he transgresses etiquettes towards great saintly souls like Narad and Vashishta, Vishwamitra and all these people. So, the Lord, through the destruction of his own family members, has shown that even if one is a devotee, he will have to bear the consequences. If one performs some sin, in order to eradicate that sin, he comes into the association of a devotee, into the satsang, and he becomes purged of all his pap. But if he performs his sin now in the association of devotees, where else can he go? And therefore, that is a difficult predicament. It's a very difficult situation. He has to be very careful. So also a very important lesson which the Lord, through the destruction, the curse upon the Yadu dynasty, he has shown, and by removing all the people from this earth, he has shown that nobody should become artificially puffed up just because of a birth in a high family. Now in this case, Prabhupada and all the commentators are writing that if the Lord would have left his family members behind, then they would have become artificially puffed up because of their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that family, the dynasty. And therefore he took them, because that would cause unnecessary pride. And he wanted everyone to enter into a fair playing ground, that it is not by birth. Birth does not award
inheritance of character. You do not inherit character by being born in a particular family. Neither do you inherit position. See, you may inherit property. Chalo, father ka chalo property, apne inherit kiya. But character, each and every individual will have to work for it. Cannot be inherited. Now, certainly being born in a family of devotees indicates that he has done very good karma. In the past, certainly, he must have done something really great. That's why he is born in a family of devotees. But if after having attained that position, if now he becomes proud, everything is lost. Because then he may start persecuting, looking down upon other genuine devotees. That is the reason. We can see the rest of these examples as the amazing purport. I mean, I can confidently say that these are one of the best purports written by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Practically each and every aspect of Krishna consciousness has been mentioned here. So another amazing example is given of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who never had any progeny. Advaita Acharya, he had I think 6 children, and out of them, 3 of them were devotees, so they were accepted, rest of them were rejected. Out of them, one became a leader, and he also never had any progeny, so that dynasty was finished. There were some people who claimed that they were descendants of Lord Nityanand, and few years ago they were claiming the exclusive rights to preaching Krishna consciousness, that we belong to Nityananda Vamsh. And at that time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he thoroughly defeated that philosophy and established the two true principles that birth cannot be the criteria for the facilities for practicing Krishna consciousness or preaching. Mahaprabhu says that Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna Upadesh. Jai Krishna Tattva Vetas Sei Guru Hoy. Yatra Yalakshanam Proktam Pumso Varana Bhyanjagam Yat Anyatra Bidrsheta Tatyaneva Vinirdishet. Bhagavatam explains that a person has to be recognized by his quality. Just as you recognize gold by its properties, not by where it has come from. It may be coming from a kachare ka dabba, no problem. Chanakya says you take a piece of gold even from a kachare ka dabba, no problem. It's pure only. So therefore, this amazing principle of and we can see even in the personal lives of Srila Prabhupada. His own children never took up to Krishna consciousness, or probably they were, but you know, mixed devotees. So therefore, he never gave any special importance. I still remember there was one Prabhupada disciple who came and who was giving a lecture in Khargar temple, and he was explaining that while he was sitting and listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada, and at that time Prabhupada's one of the sons had come to him and said that, you know, he wanted some help. Prabhupada entrusted him to some of his disciples and said, preach to him. He did not say, oh, go away, no. He gave him shelter, but Prabhupada treated him just as another member of ISKCON, another aspiring devotee, and told devotees that make sure that you can, you know, try to inspire him in Krishna consciousness. So we see that the family of also Srila Prabhupada, even though ISKCON was instituted by Srila Prabhupada, but the members of the family of Srila Prabhupada, even today, don't get any special preference. Certainly we respect them, they remind us of Prabhupada, but that's it. So Prabhupada, from his personal example, has also shown that it's all based on qualifications, not on simply birth. So, here, in this particular purport, it is explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the reservoir of all beauty. And all beautiful things emanate from Him, and His personal form is so attractive that it steals the eyes away from all other objects. So basically, the Lord has actually accomplish his purpose of establishing his position as the supreme above all else, which means the living entities. We've already discussed that in the 10th canto. When he lifted the Govardhan hill, he proved that he is superior to any other human being, because no other human being can pick up a mountain. What to speak of a mountain? Even a brick for 7 minutes, a person cannot keep holding. Very difficult. Mountain for 7 days? Not possible. So therefore, when he subdued the pride of Indra, it was proven that he is superior to all the 33 crore demigods. When he humbled the pride of Brahma by creating something which was far superior to what Brahma created, he proved that even Brahma is subordinate to him. And when he enchanted Shiva by his ravishing beauty in his form as Mohini Murti, and when he came to the rescue and saved Shiva from proving his own words false, when he gave this blessing to Bhasmasur, that time also he proved that Lord Shiva is also subordinate to him. And when Mahavishnu steals the sons of the Brahmin in Dwarka in order to get the darshan of Lord Shri Krishna, it was proven that the beauty of Shri Krishna is unsurpassed by even his incarnations. Even Vishnu cannot match when he seeks the darshan of Lord Shri Krishna. Therefore, that special sweetness of Shri Krishna is the supreme most, is what the Supreme Lord has come to establish. Because as it is common for people to believe that the Lord was just another human being. As Krishna says in the 9th chapter, Abhijananti ma mudha manushim tanumashrita param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. So, mood people, foolish people tend to misunderstand the Lord's true position. And it's so amazing that the Acharya's Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he says, for example, one devotee who came from the UK, I was taking him on a yatra, and he was asking me this question, that, when Krishna says, Manushim Tanum Ashrita, is it not that the Lord indicated that he took up a human body? When I heard that, I was reminded that even I had this question. And in fact, 99% I feel, it's my speculation, but I feel that 99% of the people also have the doubt, common people have the doubt, that the Lord, in order to enact human his pastimes, took up a human body. And that's why also, and they even quote the reference, Manushim Tanum Ashrita. Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, why is Krishna saying Manushim Tanum Ashrita? Not because he's a human. And he's giving an example, just as a king may fight very bravely, like a lion, and you may say, oh, he fought like a lion. Or you may say, this king is like a god amongst men. That doesn't mean he has become God, but... So also, when the Lord, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being Satchitananda Vigraha, he performs human-like activities, and therefore he is called human. That doesn't mean that he has become a human. And, very important, is that the Lord has taken many incarnations. He has taken, not just in human form, even the Narayan form is 400 form, which looks like a human being, but as other forms, which are subhuman, which are like horse, Hayagriv, or Matsya, or Kurma, or Varaha, a boar incarnation. How much can we relate with that incarnation? A pig, right, as detestable. Pig. Boar incarnation. And what to then speak of Narsingha, who's not even any species actually. And I was preaching to one boy and I was telling him that, what does Krishna mean? Krishna means all attractive. And then he says, okay, that makes sense. And he was like coming to accept everything what I was saying, trying to preach to him. And then one day I was taking him to this youth festival.
happened many years ago in Pune at that time. There was a youth festival, and at that time he comes across one stall where Narasimhadev's photograph was there. He becomes so agitated and he looks at Narasimhadev and he says, "Yeah, Kinchan, you said your God is very beautiful. Huh? What is this? Beauty? Beauty dikhta hai kya?" You know, like this. You know, it's so difficult to relate with that form. Is it not? So many incarnations are there. How many? And if you see, that's why Bhagavatam, major chunk of Bhagavatam, the most important chunk is the description of the Lord's human-like pastimes. And there is a reason for it. Many times people say, God has a human-like form. Actually, it is not God who's got a human-like form. It is the human being who's got God-like forms. Is it not? In the Bible, there is a saying that God has made man in his own image. God has made man in his own image. So that means humans look like God. It's not that God looks like humans. And therefore, the common mistake which people make is that, okay, God is also a human being like us. No, we are like God. I mean, in the sense that, you know, the way we look, like the head and two hands and two legs, the human form. And therefore, the common mistake we make, and the Lord shattered. And therefore, we see that these pastimes are such that if a person wants a reason to disbelieve that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, then Krishna has also given sufficient reasons for that. Okay, he got cursed, he died, and there's sufficient reason to believe. But if someone is very sincere and serious and does a sincere study of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can see that how Parikshit Maharaj is also asking those same questions, reflecting the doubts that a common man may have in his mind. And Shukdev Goswami is so beautifully replying to clarifying all those misconceptions that people may have. How can God die like an ordinary human being shot by an arrow? You see, Parikshit Maharaj is asking, and Shukdev Goswami is saying that how can he be killed by an ordinary arrow when he actually protected you from Brahmastra when you were in the womb of your mother? A person who can stop Brahmastra, can he be killed by an ordinary metal iron arrow? People say that Krishna, he is a human. After he killed, some people even commit the blasphemy of saying that Krishna went to hell after that because he performed so many irreligious activities. And that's not, even that has been considered in Bhagavatam. And Shukdev Goswami explains that the man who shot Krishna, Jara, he was sent back home back to Godhead in his self same body. Krishna summoned the Vaikunth Viman, told Jara, "You please board the Viman and go back home. Please ascend." The self same body, he went back home back to Godhead. How can that person, whose names we chant in order to become free from sins, Namno hi yavati shakti papa nirharane hare tavat kartum na shaknoti patakam pataki naraha, that you don't have that much power to commit as many sinful activities as one holy name of the Lord can purify you? Power of the holy name. So much. How can that person go to hell? That's ridiculous. And therefore, these very amazing teachings are here, and the beauty of the Lord, if you see, has what is the most important thing which will attract us. The Lord comes to this world to attract us. And as it is explained here, his beauty. As the gopis say, the gopis compare the beauty of the Lord to a lotus blooming, the finest lotus blooming in the autumn season. Sharad udashaye sadhu jata sat sarasi jodara shri mushadrisha surathanatha te shulka dasika varadha nignato neh kim vadah. Sharad udashaye sadhu jata sat, that during the autumn season, perfectly formed lotus, it's the most attractive.
You know, the lotus is very attractive, especially amongst all other flowers. The lotus is especially very beautiful because it is not the creation of Brahma. Brahma was born on the lotus. It was there before he was born, actually. It was created by the Lord himself. And that's why the uniqueness of the lotus. That's why Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamaline, Namo Pankajanetraya, Namo Pankaja. So many, everything about Pankaj only. Namaste Pankajangare. Everything Pankaj, Pankaj. Lotus, beautiful. His eyes are like lotus. Tasya Aravinda Nayana Sapada Aravinda. His feet are like a lotus. His eyes are like a lotus. So, therefore the gopis are saying that so beautiful that we cannot Atati Yad Bhavan Ahanikananam. Trutir yugayate tvam apashyata. Kutila kuntalam shri mukham chade jada udikshatam pakshma kridrasham. That why, O Brahma, did you make these eyelids? Because when the eyes blink, for that time, we are deprived of the wonderful darshan of Shri Krishna. And you are such a foolish creator, Brahma. Why didn't you make our eyes like fish? You know, fish are that species, they don't blink. They are always with the eyes open like this. Because what is the purpose of eyelids? It is to close your eyes when you see something not to be seen. You know, see no evil, yeah? Hear no evil, speak no evil. But here, the gopis are saying, we are in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is worthy of seeing. Why should the eyes ever blink? Some people, they come, even to the temple, sometimes they come and sit in the front of the Lord and close their eyes and sit in meditation. Why should you close your eyes when you are in front of the Lord? Ek bar dekho, bar bar dekho. Dekhne ki cheez hai. See again and again. That is the beauty, not what people, what critic, you know, they glorify mundane beauty. Lord's beauty is worthy. So therefore, the beauty of the Lord especially is unique. And of course, time is of the essence and we are running short of time. But the whole idea of this purport was that the Lord has accomplished His mission of establishing His true position as being above everyone else. And the sweetness He has awarded to us, that same sweetness as it is explained through the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. That same sweetness one can experience if we are purified by hearing the narrations of the Supreme Personality of God. It's non-different. Just as Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from the Supreme Lord, the holy names are non-different from the Supreme Lord. Just as Sri Krishna is the highest amongst all His incarnations, also the name Krishna is very special. Therefore, it was explained, it was discussed previously that Vishnustu Sahastra Nam Nam Punya Nam Trir Avrittitu Yat Phalam Ekavrittitu Krishnasya Nam Ekam Prechati. That thousand names of Vishnu is equivalent to one name of Lord Ram, and three names of Lord Ram is equivalent to one name of Krishna. So therefore, simply if you chant one Krishna, it's like taking 1,000 names multiplied by three. Vishnu Sahasranam into three. And that special sweetness of Shri Krishna, again in the latest edition He has given us in the form of Sriman Mahaprabhu, combined Radha and Krishna. You know, when Prabhupada was asked who's better, who's the sweetest, which incarnation, so Prabhupada said that, you know, milk is nice, sugar is nice, both are good, very wonderful, delicious, but when you mix them up together and make gulab jamun, that is the best. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is combined. Huh? So Krishna is like milk, and Radharani is like sugar, and when you mix them up nicely, yeah. So Krishna in the mood of Radha, amazing, gulab jamun, and that is sweetest of all sweets. Once when Srila Prabhupada was asked which is the sweetest of all things, which is the best sweet, he said that Chaitanya Charitamrita is the best sweet, the sweetest of all sweets. So of course they can say it, I have no realization of that sweetness, frankly speaking. But I'm just repeating what the acharya is, because they have the taste for Bhagavatam, to discuss and to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam.
and therefore the holy names of the Lord. And therefore it is said, Krishna Chaitanyeti Nama Mukhya Mukhya Tamam Prabhu Sakradeva Uchare Sarva Nama Phalam Labhet. That simply by just even accidentally taking the name of Krishna Chaitanya, it is the principle of all principal names, and one gets the benefit of chanting all the principal names, primary names of Sri Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya Tinama Mukhya Mukhya Tamam Prabhu Sakradeva Uchare Sarva Nama Phalam Labhet. So that way, even though the Lord has disappeared, the Lord has gone with a peaceful mind, knowing that the process of attaining Him has been established, because it is not simply necessary to be in the personal association of the Lord. That's why when the Brahman Patnis come to surrender to Sri Krishna, they say, we want to stay with you. Krishna said, you saw me, took my darshan, now you go back. Shravanad, darshanad, dhyanad, mai bhavonu kirtanad, na tatha sannikarshena pratiyato tato grahat. Go to your home, perform this sadhana, come to the temple, take darshan, listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, shravanad, darshanad, dhyanad, think about me, serve me, and by service you will develop attachment for me. By personal association, what is the point? I mean, many times you see that, you know, somebody was saying, I was told that previously once, but husband was told, you know, that he is going to die by morning. By sunrise, he will die. So he thought, what to do? I will be with the one I love so much, my wife. So he tells his wife, please be by my side. I want to put my head on your lap and just speak to you throughout the night. So the wife sat, and it was 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the night. Wife felt sleepy and she said, Dekho, main sone ja rahi hu. Husband said, how can you go to sleep? The wife says, Dekho, tumko subah uthna nahi hai, mujhe uthna hai. Tumko subah uthna nahi hai, mujhe to uthna hai. Let me go to sleep. People are together, where is the love, you see? Being in the physical proximity does not ensure that there is love. And therefore, Krishna has established this principle. You go and do yourself. You develop love for me. Simply being in my association will be. Prabhupada says that, you know, mosquito also takes the association of the guru. Of the guru, I mean, mosquito is taking personal association, close association. He's sitting on the shoulder and he's. That is the problem. Many times in the name of association, they're dangling around everywhere around the gurus and they're taking unnecessary time. Go and do some service. Many times, even for prestige, people hanging around. Prabhupada, many times he gave personal association to his people. But why he gave? Because they were neophytes. Because many after his association was gone, they fell down. Prabhupada was giving them because they knew that without his personal association, they would not continue in Krishna consciousness. But the real people who stayed were those who actually being separate from the personal association, but they were actually embarked on the mission of the spiritual master. And therefore, the Lord has given His leelas, has given His holy name, and He has given His separation, and engage in sadhana, and just develop that love, association of devotees, association of those devotees who really have that love for Krishna. That kind of association. And that way we can attain the Supreme Lord. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, jai, aur Bhaktavrinda ki, jai, Gaur Premanande, hari hari bol.